This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Something about last night I do want to ask you. You see the clip that went a little mini viral from De'Aaron last night?
The clip about the media?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that caught on.
It was on one of those, like, not NBA Central, but like Clutch Points or something like that. Like,
okay.
It was circulating a little bit.
King's okay. Twitter had it as well. It was just a big King's Twitter thing too.
I know, I saw James, I saw his entire video, and then I saw Matt isolated it, and it was, I think J.A. asked him about coming to the podium after big losses, and he said, and J.A. framed it as kind of a leadership accountability thing, and De'Aaron was like, I don't get anything, I'm paraphrasing.
Oh, yes. Definitely.
I don't get anything out of coming to the podium, and my teammates don't give a F if I come up here or not.
Right.
If Mike or Michael is the public relations person, Shannon is the head of the media team there. If they ask me, when they ask me to do it, I come do it. I don't get anything out of this.
Did you have any big deal, little deal, no deal?
No deal. It was
I
nothing.
I think it's no deal.
Yeah, it was nothing. And it was funny if it was anything else.
And the reason why
nothing.
I think it's no deal is simply because he said his teammates don't trip. And if that's accurate, I have no reason for him to believe that it's not. If they're not tripping and they don't look at him any different as a leader or anything, if he talks or not, then it's a no deal.
I feel like if anything, it just cleared it up. Just as far as like what people think of those press conferences and stuff like that. It's just not what we all have thought, maybe.
I might be so. There was way too much made of that time where De'Aaron wasn't talking. Mm-hmm. And I know James brought it up, and I know why James brought it up. And everything that transpired after that was kind of kept between all parties involved. There was way, way too much made of that. Mm-hmm. Way, way too much. It was very, very literally nothing. But I think I'm out of the loop a little bit on this. Did people think it was a big deal?
I didn't really dive there. I mean, it was circulating and there was comments and all this.
Are you talking about as far as last night?
Like, yeah.
People were turned off. Some people, I'm not going to say everyone, because I feel like there's a lot of people like, yeah, it's big, like no big deal or whatever. It's nothing. But I feel like people were kind of turned off by just kind of well, you make all this money, like you go up here and like just stuff along the lines of that.
I'm looking at Matt, because I know Matt had the isolated video, and I'm just looking at the, some of the responses. This is weird. I didn't know this was. I literally thought absolutely nothing of this when I saw the clip.
Hmm. Yeah, it was certain the Twitter page that I'm talking about, Clutch Points. I mean, that's one of those NBA Central. They picked up on it.
Some people are just saying, man, it is not that serious.
Is it like, hear me out, I'm not trying to like bash fans or anything. Is it a matter of fans just wanting something to mean more than it ever will?
I think we all have our perceptions of like leaders and, you know, different things like that. And again, it's not my story. So I'll like, what happened with De'Aaron earlier this year wasn't about leader. It was literally less than nothing. And it just got turned into something it didn't need to be. It wasn't De'Aaron's responsibility to make sure that he spoke instead of Keon Ellis. Mm-hmm. I'm sure if Shannon or Mike, the individuals that De'Aaron referenced, if neither of them comes to De'Aaron and says, hey, we need you to go to the podium, he doesn't think about, well, who's going?
Right.
If they don't come to him, he's going through with treatment, working out, whatever his post game routine is, mm-hmm. he's doing it. Mm-hmm. He doesn't, it's not his job or a quote leader's job to track down, well, who's talking to the media today? That's other people's job. And so it's nothing. Like De'Aaron's leadership has been called into question for far too long. I thought that got deaded last year, but I don't know, maybe not. I'm with De'Aaron. It's not that serious. They do it because they have to. It's part of their job. That's why they do it.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that. I have no problem with that whatsoever.
I don't either.
Some players don't say it.
Right.
Oh, no, it's fine. I
mean, that may be.
No, yeah, you got it. Like, no, De'Aaron, like, I don't give a F about any of this.
And that may be one of the reasons why the clip is, you know, going the way it is, because you don't hear. This never really comes up like that, right? Like, not in a post game, not even on, like, podcasts, on podcast beat. Like, they don't really talk about it. They all just kind of, they're not asked about it, I guess, so they don't say nothing. De'Aaron was asked about it. He's like, it's literally a no deal. Like, nobody in that locker room cares. I don't care. I don't really like doing it. But if they ask me to, I'll do it. It's whatever.
People speak in their mind, like, in general in the NBA, like Russell Westbrook is a guy who gets a lot of, like, not heat, but just more so like attention for it. Like, it's always gonna, whether it's good or bad, it's always just gonna get attention.
Yeah.
If you're not giving the robotic answer. Like, you're just speaking your mind, you're just gonna get attention either way.
Which speaks to the fact he's the leader of this franchise.
Mm-hmm.
When you go plus or minus, positive or negative, that speaks to who you are to this franchise.
Yeah. Once again, I say this routinely. I give my thoughts about this. I was saying this all Friday after Malik and Mike Brown and all this other stuff. How I go about, you know, saying, hey, I don't like this or I don't like that or I don't think this is necessary, I don't think that is necessary. I'm coming from the premise of high school athletics, college athletics, AU athletics, where the dynamic is adult and kid or young man. The NBA is a completely different place. It's a different world. And they like Malik and Mike, I look at something like that and I'm like, bro, that's not cool. We don't need to be doing that. But in the NBA, and specifically with these two, they've already said it. It's whatever. It just happens.
Mm-hmm.
We're cool. Like, it doesn't affect nothing. The locker room don't feel no way about it. We talk about it. We move on. That's what I'll go by. Mm-hmm. I haven't lived in an NBA locker room. I haven't been there day to day. It's a different place. And once again, in a certain world, you may want to say, hey, my leader or whatever, he always goes up, talks, faces the media, all this other stuff. We respect that or whatever. If this man telling you and other people are telling you, they don't care one way or the other in the locker room, then that's all I need to hear. I'm not going to – if they don't care, if they're good, it's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
And he says they're good either way. Like, if he talks or doesn't talk, or Sabonis talks or doesn't talk. So that's the way I take it.
Yeah, I think fans, and I mean this lovingly, and media do it as well, they just make too much of these things that happen at the podium. Like, and I think it's only magnified. I'm just looking at these responses, and if you're a Twitter responder and you're listening, man, no, we appreciate you. Mm-hmm. But some of y'all are just too deep. Mm. It's pause. It's just not that serious. Like, it is really, really not that serious. Let's get to these phone lines, man. 916-909-1320. We'll start with our man, Kamara. I know he's not happy today. Kamara, what's up, man?
I mean, actually, I'm not, like, upset. You know, it is what it is, man. They've had so many bad losses that maybe I'm just dead inside. I don't know.
Well, this also wasn't a bad loss. You lost, I mean, like, it was just, you lost and handily, but you lost to a good team. They shot great. You didn't shoot well. It happens.
You lost to a team that you had kind of mentally prepared to lose one game to. You just really wanted to win the first one. You thought they was going to win both?
I disagree with that.
I don't think they go into like thinking they're going to lose a game. I think what happened is, as Kenny said, it's a make or miss league, and you know they were hitting shots that you just kind of like, all right, well, listen, we got a hand in the face, off balance. Got PJ Washington, who's been shooting 29% for the year, all of a sudden looking like Larry Bird out there. Like, I just think it's just one of those things where you're like, all right, you know, it's just one of them nights. You know, for some reason, Golden One has the softest rims in the league because everybody seems to find their rhythm when they get in there. But, you know, listen, they gotta get one on Friday. So it is what it is. I guess one of the things I thought I want to ask you guys, and, you know, Kenny, get your thoughts on it, was I don't know. Sometimes I feel like, Domas, and it's hard to criticize somebody who leads the league in double-doubles and in triple-doubles, but, you know, do you feel like sometimes we're like, man, you're deep in the post, and instead of looking to attack, you're looking to pass. And sometimes I want Domas to be like, listen, man, like, take on the aggressor as far as scoring and not always looking to distribute and punish them in the post and make your presence be felt, not just physicality and rebounding, but also going up strong and, you know, getting those points. And I do agree, Kenny, that or maybe it was D, that you're saying that De'Aaron was going side to side a lot. He did find his way to the rim, to the rack sometimes, but sometimes it's because Dallas was bringing up the bigs on the high post and pinching them, forcing them to, like, change up their DHO action. So I do see adjustments going to be happening in the fourth game on Friday, but I do want to see maybe if, like, what else they can adjust, and what do you guys see going forward as far as adjusting on their game plan? I'll take it offline.
Well, no, I'll shut the hell up because he asked Kenny. No. I ain't want to hear what I got to say. No, I see, Kamar, that's fine.
Not even the TC, like, courtesy. No, yeah, no, D-Lo, not even, like, not even a courtesy.
No, that's cool. 25 years, just right down the toilet. Just want to hear what KC got to say. That's fine. So, KC, what adjustments do they need to make?
I mean.
Well, wait a minute. Actually, before that, what do you think about what he said about Domas? Because that was the KC question.
Yeah, I understand what he's saying, but. You know, when Domas,
you get in trouble for this type of stuff, by the way, Kamara, because I once posed this. And
well, no. When Domas is, when he's got 9 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds, and the shots are falling, we don't think about it, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that we're talking about he's the hub of the offense and he's getting everybody involved. Because when the shots are going, that's what's going on. Last night, it didn't feel like the shots were going down, and that helped to it. And I don't disagree. Like, there's a couple times I want him to just get on the block and go to work or something like that. So you're not wrong with it. It's just, you know, sometimes it don't happen that way. And when the shots are falling, we don't think twice about it.
Yeah, I obviously want to see that more, especially when he's effective. Boy, but that post game for Mike. Mike uses that term spray so often, which is the paint touch to the three, that it feels like that's their plan. They know Domas is efficient and can score, so that's going to pull in the defense. As soon as it does, find Keegan. Find De'Aaron, find Harris, find whoever it is, because that's the spray we're looking for, and that's the shot we can hit.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Unfortunately for Domas, like, last night wasn't one of those nights where Domas was, you know, 9 of 10. Mm-hmm. It's like, yo, make that 10-20. Yeah. He was 3 of 10. Yeah. Like, they again, it's where I choose to give Dallas credit. Dallas did really, really good on De'Aaron and Domas last night.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Adjustments. De'Aaron was talking – I'm sorry, Kamara was talking about them bringing the post player up to De'Aaron on a lot of the plays last night. What's adjustment number one that Sacramento needs to make? We had the wide-open three numbers, so they, to a degree, they were there. But is there an adjustment that they need to make?
You know what? To watch the game film, they probably will dissect something that they can do more. One of the things I think is attack Luka more on the defensive end. We talked about that a little bit, but make him work. Make Kyrie work as well. Make these guys work on the defensive end. But it's maybe a little too simplistic, and, you know, it's not inside basketball too much, but I really do believe last night was a case of the Mavericks shot the lights out and the Kings couldn't buy a bucket after a while.
Would you let someone else bring the ball up the floor?
For the Kings?
Yeah. Like if they're now there's you know, probably notes you got to take here, but if they're only picking up De'Aaron and they're not picking up Keon or Domas even, do you let one of those two guys bring the ball up the floor and just get De'Aaron down the court? Because a lot of these plays, De'Aaron is crossing, like Harrison is trying to set screens like 2 feet above the 3-point line to try to get him freed up and downhill a little bit to the basket.
Maybe. And I only say maybe because I'd have to watch the tape, look at the film a little bit, but unless they made an adjustment, they might have did the same thing last time they played him, and De'Aaron killed him.
Oh, we'll find out.
You know that might have been the game plan then, or we've seen different teams do the same thing, and De'Aaron plays well.
Well, they did it effectively. That's for sure.
Now,
at least in my opinion, they did.
Now, maybe it's a little different because second night of a back-to-back, trying to wear him out that way, and maybe that has a little bit of an effect. But, you know, I don't think what happened last night is too difficult to decipher. I don't think much has to change.
It's as simple as missed shots and made shots?
Yeah. I mean, these guys couldn't miss. They were hitting all type of shots, and the Kings couldn't hit anything. So, like I said, you watch some film, I'm sure there's some things, maybe we could do this a little different, or we could force Luka here, like some real inside basketball, watching a film, like creative strategy type stuff that you could do a little different, for sure. But I promise you like this, if you change something on the defensive end or the offensive end, and the numbers are still the same, the results are going to be the same. That's kind of where I come from. It wasn't – those things weren't minuscule enough to say, hey, a change here is what's needed. No, you need to find a way to shoot better, number one, and hope that they don't hit 22 threes again.
You got me thinking.
I feel like Derrick Jones was on him a lot in the first two games.
Well, just four offensive plays in the first play of that game was just De'Aaron pulling up for three. The first four offensive plays of the game, they're not picking De'Aaron up like they did last night. Like, not at all. He's going straight to the basket. He had 34 in this one. This is the game on January 27th. So this is the last time they played before last night. They're not picking anyone up at half court. They just I got Herter and Harrison bringing the ball up the floor here on this one, and De'Aaron, you know, working early. But they made an adjustment. Again, this is a different basketball team. This team that I'm watching right here from January 27th, this is different than the team we saw last night. We'll come back. We'll talk more basketball adjustments for the Kings. And maybe some more on the sales meeting. I don't know. You want to distract it. TC, I see you. Hang tight. 916-909-1320. Much more ahead. Stealing with KC. Brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
No, don't mind me.
Yeah, Dame's busy. Back to movies. Like, yeah, I'd pay more for the snacks and stuff like that than you do for the tickets at this point.
And the tickets are grossly outrageous.
Yes.
The tickets are like $20 a person.
At least.
It's really ridiculous.
We need to take down big movies.
And then, like, but nobody ever talks about them. Nobody. Everybody talk about the price for a game, which is crazy, which is a crazy price. I'm not saying that, but let's fix movies, too.
That's facts. We need to do that. I will say, though, I love the fact I can, like, order my popcorn and, like, slushy ahead of time. Just walk in, pick it up. Don't got to talk to anybody, really.
So I haven't really done that before.
It's kind of weird. I feel like that's happened a lot now.
So I'm like, taking care of business, and this is what you two do.
Well, I didn't know what you were doing. I thought you were looking up something, because you know how sometimes you get down a rabbit hole and get lost. I was like, all right, well, my man's trying to
get something. Go to movies or boxing and slushies.
You want to talk about, like, Kings?
Well, fair enough. We need to go back to when the only good thing that came out of the pandemic was when they just started putting movies in the house. Cost $20. See, do that.
No, the movies, going to the movies is an experience. That's I love it.
Now, come on. We can't be completely recluse out there.
Yeah.
Like, let's go on a date.
I strongly disagree.
Let's go on a date. Let's go watch a movie.
Nah, but I always want to go see a movie and say, we can't do it right now. Oh, I can't do it. Or I forget. Oh, I can't do it. If it was, let's watch it right now.
Well, they should, and I'm again. I understand, like, it'd be cool, but now
charge me $20 to watch it in my house. I'd see way more movies.
That's not the same, because they're losing potentially like $80 extra, because it's $20 a person to go to the movie theaters. You do $20 for the whole family, you're losing $60 more.
Not my problem. I'm a consumer. I
don't understand big business, I'm big business.
Guess that guy on Twitter got through to you. They did that with some movie. So what they do now is like the Bob Marley movie. I can't remember. It was called One Love or Marley. What it's called? Well, it's not called Marley. That was a dog movie, isn't it?
Marley and Me, I think.
Oh. Yeah. So the Bob Marley movie, I think it dropped on Valentine's Day.
Sounds about right.
And which I think was his birthday. It dropped around that time. Mm-hmm. And then it's like you can rent it now for like $20. Mm-hmm. So I guess they'll do like the theater run is a little bit shorter than used to be.
And that's
and then
fair.
You can get it.
That's fair.
All right.
But you got to give it 4 to 6 weeks in the theater.
I feel like they do it now. If it's a flop, then it'll be on Blu-ray or digital tomorrow.
Yeah, that's facts.
If it's good, you're gonna have to wait a few months.
Yeah, that's right.
We're gonna have to make our money off of this somehow.
And that's before we start talking about Netflix and all that other stuff where you ain't gotta pay for nothing.
Well, you paying for Netflix.
Well, you pay Netflix, but it's on there, right?
Yeah, but I mean, that's why they keep Netflix damn near $90 a month now.
They need to settle down. Because what am I going to do? Delete Netflix? No.
Netflix, I got to get rid of Netflix. There's literally no
reason. You need to get rid of Netflix when Raw is coming next year?
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah, it's over. We lost.
You ain't going nowhere.
Streaming won. We lost, guys.
Mm-hmm. He's right.
Take my money, Hulu.
Hulu's the worst one. But
Hulu, messed up my whole little. I don't even know how to.
But where
it's
Hulu
a mess right now?
Where Hulu was smart is they're the Disney entity. Mm-hmm. So you get Hulu, the stupid ass ESPN thing.
Don't do that. ESPN Plus is actually phenomenal.
And
don't do that.
What's the other one?
Disney Plus.
Disney.
They just launched the Disney Plus and Hulu just launched their new app. That's like a joint app now too.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I need them. Why don't they just all merge as one giant app so I can just log into one app instead of the three? Like if I want to watch Moana, I can watch Moana. If I want to watch Ali versus Frasier, I can watch Ali versus Frasier.
I think that's what it is now, because like on Disney Plus, I can watch 30 for 30s and all that. I think they got like the new Hulu shows on there, I think.
Okay.
Moana, that is, if I ever want Ryan to just settle down for 30 minutes.
Moana's a fantastic.
She thinks she's Moana.
That might be The Rock's best movie. That's phenomenal.
It's
phenomenal.
The game plan is phenomenal as well.
I do love the game plan.
That's the one I like, right?
Yeah, the football one.
Yeah.
Tooth Fairy, the hockey one.
It's really not a good movie, just very pleasant. Yeah.
Game plan is a good movie.
Like, The Rock is still kind of figuring things out as an actor, and it's not as...
You see the tweets of The Rock the other day with him having, like, hair, like... Wasn't like when he first broke into the movie scene or whatever, but just after, like, he's got like weird hair where his hairline's receding, but it's just like, it's weird. He's like, he's not even Big Rock either.
Oh, yeah. Like, he went through an era. That's why he fired his management team. I can't remember if it was, I think he's with William Morris Endeavor now. He might have been with CAA before. And CAA was like, yeah, there's no guys your size. You need to be smaller. You need to look normal. Like, that's how you're going to become a leading man. Like, you're too big. That's not leading man material. So he slimmed down, and you look back at these weird movies like Tooth Fairy, and like there's even Game Plan to a certain degree. He's obviously in tremendous shape still, but he's a lot smaller than what we're used to.
They weren't necessarily wrong.
No, they weren't, but it's one of those Mike Brown, Malik Monk things in that you've got to know your client.
Right.
And that's not him.
Well, maybe he wanted to be a leading man. Maybe he wanted to do Hitch. That wasn't going to necessarily work the way he's built now.
But he is a leading man.
What you mean?
The Rock is a leading man. And he looks like The Rock.
When's the last time he did a movie like that? Like Hitched?
It's Hitch. It's not Hitched. It's Hitch. The guy's name is Hitch. This is offensive. Your behavior towards that movie is offensive. You need to stop.
Casey also hasn't seen Back to the Futures.
Kevin O'Connell.
Well, see, that's not the same thing. Most of the Rock, I don't know, the Rock
movies.
When
you say leading man, that's what I think of.
But no, a leading man is the lead actor of, like, Skyscraper. He's the leading man in Skyscraper.
Yeah, he's the guy in Hollywood.
That doesn't mean he's a heartthrob.
You're right, but it's a different type of character.
Like, Mission Impossible is an action movie. Like, Tom Cruise is a leading man.
No, you're right. You're right. But I'm just saying, when I think of what they were trying to get him to do, like,
not any rom-coms.
Well, that's what I was thinking of, though, right? Like, he's not going to be Fast and Furious Rock in Valentine's Day.
I mean, Game Plan it's cute. It's not a rom-com. It's not a rom-com, but it's centered around.
Who was the lady in that movie? It was somebody we know, right? It wasn't Rosario Dawson, was it?
Rosario Dawson was the Rundown.
Mm. Was it the girl from... No, not Rush Hour, right?
I don't remember.
Well, now we're going to have to
Now I'm looking. Yeah. I don't know what you'd classify Jungle Cruise as, but that's a fantastic movie.
Yeah, that was a solid one.
Jumanji?
Jumanji's good.
I don't know what you classify these movies as,
Once again, it's not Hitch. It's a rom-com.
They're not like Skyscraper, like the movies where he's freaking jumping out of buildings and all that either, though.
He does. I don't believe he has a rom-com on his.
And I believe
that's... Not in any... By the way, Skinny Rock doesn't have rom-com.
I believe that's what he was trying to get to. Rosalind Sanchez, was she the love interest in that movie? I think she was.
She might have been.
In the Game Plan.
Like the Game Plan. Joe Kingman.
Shout out Rosalind Sanchez.
Never Say No, Joe. No, I don't think so.
Well, she's in
it. Oh, Rosalind Sanchez. Yeah. Yeah, she was in it. Yeah, she was
Rosalind
in it.
Rosalind Sanchez was in that that movie with Cuba Gooding Jr. I think it was Boat Trip.
Oh, well.
His name has been kind of surfacing on Twitter, too.
Why?
Why?
I feel like connected to the Diddy stuff.
Oh, no.
I've seen his name a lot this week.
Oh, no. Don't be connected to the we call him Sean, by the way.
Oh, the Sean stuff.
We're trying to be sensitive.
I got you. I'll clean that up. Yeah. I've been seeing that right. I've seen his name a lot
this
week.
Trying to be sensitive to social media handles. Cuba Gooding Jr. What do we got here? They've added Cuba Gooding Jr. to... Oh.
Okay, so I'm not wrong, right?
No.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, he's on the blocks as well.
Nope. So what, am I supposed to not watch Boys in the Hood anymore?
Yeah, are we going to lose the walking out of jail or walking out of the police office in handcuffs gif?
Well, that,
well you might
that?
Get a new
that
one.
A little bit more real than
you might get a
me.
New one. I wonder how much, this would be an interesting pocket watching segment, but I don't know. By the way, The Rock's got like the greatest Wikipedia page of all times. Because you see like Rocky Maivia. The Nation of Domination, and then you just keep scrolling, and you get to, like, Moana.
Is he up there with Jamie Foxx, one of the greatest entertainers ever? It's not singing, but, like...
Well, The Rock can sing.
Yeah, we got The Rock concert.
The Rock can sing.
He's also got that tip-hop, that rap song with Tech Nine, right?
He does have the Tech Nine.
That was bad. We can forget about that.
I do remember that.
He tweeted after, too, like, wow, I was kind of, like, shy about this, but I did great with this. No, you didn't, pal.
Hmm. I wonder if I can. I have a fascinating idea for a pocket watching segment.
I got, well, for today, because I got one for today.
Okay.
Are we ready for it?
I don't know, but Banks, come work with us.
What year was this? Is 2024. There's virtually no way we could do this. I don't think there's any way we could do it.
Well, let's brainstorm it. What do you think?
It would be fascinating. The Rock's movie career earnings. That's wrong. When I say The Rock's movies, I mean The Rock's movies. The movies that he made, gross earnings. Like not how much money The Rock made for The Mummy Returns, but how much money The Mummy Returns made. Mm-hmm. Anybody down or is it
too
difficult?
But I don't know if they have these numbers available. You probably have to add them up.
I think I have the number, and I can give you the highest grossing. Wow.
I'm always down
is
for
that
a game,
shoot? Yeah, I think it is. I can give you the there's no way this number's right. Mm. This number can't be right.
Well, that's the Furious. I'm sure those movies pumped up whatever number you're looking at.
I don't think we could accurately do it. So I'm gonna say I'm scratching this. I don't think we can accurately do it. Mm. It has Fast and Furious. Let
crazy.
Me see which freaking number this is. Furious 7, 2015, as its highest grossing film at $1.5 billion.
Jeez, goodness Christ.
I mean that feel like
the Fate of the Furious is number 2 at $1.2 billion.
Where's Hobbs and Shaw?
Probably not there. So this is interesting. Jumanji comes in at third, and it's the first movie below $1 billion. It's $999.5 million. Those are the top three grossing movies. I don't feel like this number could possibly be accurate. But the totals start to dwindle down. Maybe this is only the number from a certain year. After becoming one of the greatest professional wrestlers in the WWE, Dwayne The Rock Johnson shifted his focus towards his acting career. The late 2000s was then his career really started to pick up the momentum. Johnson starring in The Game Plan, Get Smart, Race to Witch Mountain. Hmm. Since then, he is starring in countless films which have grossed more than... Any guesses just for fun? No, because never mind, because you're going to go, count it.
$5 billion.
So it says $12 billion.
I was going to say about 11.
Which seems 11. Low, given the fact that we just read off three movies that were in the vicinity of $1 billion each. Well, but those are obviously, that doesn't count The Rundown, which probably made like $60 million.
Those probably carry it.
Oh, for sure.
Everything outside of those.
You know the way we should have done
might
it.
Might get you $1 billion in itself.
That's E-Me. We should have done it this way. The highest grossing one was, what, 1.7, The Fast and the Furious? 10 on the list, because these are the top 10, was The Mummy Returns at $435 million. Mm. So that could have set a little bit more context as to what this looked like.
So we're working with stuff now.
I still feel like $12 billion is a little low, but this was published a month and a half ago, so I'll buy it.
Maybe we can do like actors and entertainers or whatever for our in-season tournament of Pocket Watchers.
In-season tournament.
I'm telling you, that's a good idea. Deal.
I like it.
I'm telling you, I got a good one for today, man.
Okay, what time do we? Oh, we got time. Jake Gayden's going to join us in a couple of minutes, so what do we got?
Make people mad. What about, I don't know if we've already done this before. If we have, I certainly don't remember it. What about my boy Kyrie? He's been in the league long enough. He's had some interesting contracts. What about Kyrie for today in Pocket Watch?
Don't think we've done Kyrie.
I don't think we have either. I don't think we have. Just by my search, it doesn't look like we have. Kyrie Irving.
Were you out getting shots up in Spot Track yesterday?
I was not getting shots up. I was just watching the game. I said, I wonder if Kyrie. Because this needs to get paid. There needs to be a daily occurrence.
We can honestly do Pocket Watches like with the Kings opponent player, like after every. Like, I'm. Oh, gosh. Yeah.
That's part of Will Z's getting ready for the game.
Yeah.
Find a
pocket. We got graphics for this.
Okay, where did the. Where are they finding these pictures from me? Looking sad, looking pictures. Black and white, all this other. What are we doing?
Pictures are that's a really great graphic. We can't figure out how to do graphics here at ESPN 1320. We'll figure it out in two Google searches. Kyrie Irving, the former number one overall pick from the 2011 NBA draft. Kyrie has been in the league 13 seasons. Interesting. We're doing earnings to date, correct? Earnings to date.
I'm a big fan of just what his earnings would be at the end of his career, but we can do earnings to date.
Well, earnings at the end of his current contract, not necessarily the end of his current career.
Contract, yeah. His earnings at the end of his current contract.
Boy.
Total.
All right. That will put us at 15 seasons for Kyrie Irving. 15 seasons. His highest grossing year will be the final year of his current contract, which will be the 25-26 season, $42.9 million.
See, it spices it up when you do the career earnings.
Gracious.
$42.9 million Kyrie Irving will earn in the 25-26 season. That will be his 15th season in the National Basketball Association.
And that's going to be his highest earning?
That will be his highest earning year as a professional. My guess is will be his highest earning year as an amateur as well. He only played like 11 games.
Yeah, well, don't be too sure.
The former number one overall pick in the draft. 15 seasons when this current contract is over. A Kenny Caraway special here. Career earnings for Kyrie Irving is what?
I'm going to say $321, Bob.
I don't know who Bob is, and that's bordering on offensive. But 21, give me the number again. I'm sorry.
$321, Bob.
$321.
I think you shortchanged them today.
Is the number for Kenny Caraway. $321 million as he cheers himself on.
Let's go.
Jesse Tapia, the reigning defending champion who holds a record right now of 2-11.
Why we always got to bring the record up?
11-2.
I mean, do they put the standings every time they play a game? Like, why do we have to do that?
Jesse Tapia.
We're going to go $340 million.
We're going
to
go.
I'm expecting it to be higher, but $340
million. In a tightly contested battle.
Oh, wow.
Kyrie Irving's career earnings after the 25-26 season will be $353 million. Ladies and gentlemen, he has done it again. His 12th victory of the 2024 season, Kenny Caraway moves to 2 and 12. Jesse Tapia moves to an astonishing 12 and 2.
It's like, that's what we like to see. We're on a Boston Celtics run right now. Point differential through the roof.
Casey, after these blowouts, do you feel it's important to go to the podium and speak to the people? Like, is this your way of showing leadership to the chatty house and to the folks?
Like, I don't give a look. If Kim tells me to come out here and talk, I talk. If she doesn't, then I don't. But Rich and Gina and Lauren, they don't care whether I come out here or not.
Jesse, you have any words after I don't know how many victories in a row this has been. We're probably up to 7. That's a conservative guess in a row.
We do what we do because that's what we do. That's all I got to say.
Now here's Will Z again.
Well,
now we got a winning percentage attached to the record. Why?
It's a winning percentage of 143 for Kenny Caraway. He's approaching Detroit Pistons status here, though. The Pistons. I want to make Pistons Wizards jokes, but I can't because they beat the Kings. So.
This game is rigged, man.
This game. This was literally.
It was literally your favorite player.
Can I say, I'll say this.
It was definitely rigged.
Let me say, okay, you need to go watch some Carol Lawson inspirational videos right now. Because, like, look, hey, you got a little better.
Oh, stop it.
You got a little better.
Stop
300,
it.
You weren't terribly far off. It was 321. As soon as Jesse said, I think you shortchanged him a little bit, I was like, well, this could get tough for my guy. It was just a question of was he going to go way over.
What did he say?
He said 340. He was within 13 million.
I mean, I went first yesterday, too. It's like, I don't know.
Just keep fighting.
This stupid-ass game.
I do want to be clear, though. It was your idea. And it was your favorite player.
Stupid game.
All right. We do pocket watch for Allen Iverson. I win that one. That might just be the end.
Like,
we might just have to move the L.A. Caraways somewhere else.
Kenny might get in the pickup truck and go home. Kenny might get in the brown pickup truck if we lose Allen Iverson. We'll save that for a later date.
And all you people in the chat talking about, I tried to rig it. No, it's on the up and up. I just was watching. I think Kyrie would be a good one.
If Kenny tried to rig it and that happened, man.
Whenever we do have Bobby Marks on again, though, we do like need to bring this up to him.
Oh,
I think he'd be down.
To. Bobby would absolutely.
Yeah, I think he'd love to play.
What would be? It'd be a triple threat match, though, because the ultimate walk off would be Jesse beating Bobby Marks.
But and look, Bobby Marks will beat Jesse, but he. What's the match when he can't lose the title because I didn't pin him or something like that, or is it the other way around?
No, it's the other way around.
He can lose the title,
right? You beat Bobby. Yeah, you beat Bobby, and Jesse gets the loss. That's good
stuff.
Oh,
man, this is trash.
The number, I mean, he's like Kyrie's earning $82 million over the next 2 years. They're, like, it's amazing to think for an individual with this much money, but his number is changing drastically. Like, he's going from 270 to 353.
Am I tripping thinking he might get another contract? Not a big one, but he might get another $40 million? How old is he?
40 million. Yeah. He's going to get another 40 million. I'm certain.
After this one, though. But how old is he?
He's 32, 33, 30. So he'll be 34 when this contract's
up.
And
he might get a $70 million.
You sign a 2-year deal.
He going to get the 400? Wow.
Yeah, he'll get the 400.
Kyrie wanted it.
You sign a 2-year deal for 25 a pop.
Did he make top 75?
Good question. I don't remember. I feel like he
did. I don't think he did.
No, he didn't. He didn't because I remember there was a tweet. I don't know if it was a joke. I think it was a joke, but they had a Kyrie highlight video for him making it.
Yeah,
he didn't do it.
They tripping. He's one of the best to ever do it.
It's the other stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's a like I didn't feel any type of way. It's an arena. It's they Kyrie's name got called last night. They let him have it.
They did.
Yeah. And it was like, it wasn't like long and sustained like his name was Buddy, but it was like, wow. Okay. Now they let Luka, you know, like he's the star
they
player.
They booed Luka?
Yeah. Yeah, they booed Luka.
Oh, man.
They booed Luka.
Remember, were we there? Nah, we couldn't have been because we weren't doing the show. But when like the first like 2-3 years, he was getting these obnoxious cheers and people.
There were some Mavericks fans there. There were definitely
Kings fans cheering them back in the day. I said, you guys should be ashamed of yourself.
There were some 77s out there last night.
Boo his ass.
Well, certainly boo him on Friday. Mm-hmm. Don't boo Jake Gaydon, though, because he's going to join us. Man, I forgot.
We're going to get into it, bro.
I forgot TC was there.
Oh, damn. Hey, TC, call back. TC, call back, bro.
Sorry about that. We got you. That's me.
We're going to get into it. This is.
We might break some news.
We might.
We're going to talk with Jake Gaydon.
And this is a little controversial around here, too, man.
It is. Well, Jake Gaydon's been all over this A's Sacramento story. So we'll talk with him when D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. All right, man, let's get into it.
See, and I'm a little cryptic with how, you know, the questions I ask our guests, because I don't know what he can tell me and what he can't tell me, but I know he's going to tell us a little bit that'll be informative to the area.
So what we'll do is we'll introduce our man Jake Gaydon, CBS 13. You're a partner over there on CBS 13 and in the March Madness coverage. Jake, you have been all over this Sacramento Kings, Oakland A's story. And so I'm with KC. I'm not exactly sure what to ask you, but I don't know like what's between us and what's not. So I know you said this on the live stream, so I think it's okay. You were visiting the River Cats today. Some of our questions through this process have involved the River Cats. What have you learned through the course of your reporting as it pertains to the A's, Sacramento, how the River Cats are involved, and how close we might be to this thing actually happening?
All right, so let's start with my interview with Vivek Ranadive, the Kings owner, last Monday. We did a segment on Vivek on the future of Sacramento in 2030, and didn't even pose the question of like, hey, do you think the A's can come to Sacramento? He just actually brought it up in the conversation of like, hey, I've been talking to John Fisher about bringing the A's here. Now, of course, weeks ago, we reported that the A's were visiting Sacramento and Sutter Health Park, seeing it was a viable option. Of course, there was there's a report that came out in Baseball America, I believe, that said like, hey, we are super interested. The A's front to land the A's if they do leave Oakland for the 3-year period that they have until the stadium in Vegas is built. So Vivek brings this up, says, hey, I'm talking to John. We're trying to get the A's here for 3 years. And I've also talked to Rob Manfred, the commissioner of the MLB, about keeping a team here because he does want to expand possibly past just Vegas, an East Coast team and a West Coast team. There's no one that is on the record for Manfred of the expansion that he wants to see. That led to a lot of conversation throughout Northern California of how is this going to work in Sacramento? Mm-hmm. So a couple things that I learned today by speaking with general manager Chip Maxson of the Sacramento Cats. One thing that he did tell me today is that the River Cats are here to stay. So if the A's do come in, this is going to be something where they're going to have to work out a schedule because both teams are going to play here, right? Wow. The River Cats aren't going anywhere from his understanding and from what he had told us today. The other thing that he told me that I think was one of D'Lo's questions yesterday, which I was intrigued about, what needs to happen to Sutter Health Park to make it available for an MLB stadium? Well, a couple of things have already happened. They've updated the locker rooms out in left field, which I got to tour today. It is beautiful out there. State of the art, nice weight room, nice locker room, brand new kitchen for food for all the players, weight room, athletic staff have a great area. It's really state of the art. They did a great job for building it in less than 5 months. The other thing that they need to do that Chip was telling me today is there's a lighting issue. So for them to have a MLB stadium there, they'd have to add additional lights to the actual stadium of Sutter Health Park. As for the field dimensions, don't need to touch anything. I also asked, hey, left field, could you build on top of the structure out there where the locker room is? He said it's not retrofitted for that, so that would be out of the question. So to answer your questions of one, why is this happening now? Well, the A's have to make a decision within the next 2 to 4 weeks of where they're playing. They need to put together 25 schedule the MLB does, and they need to figure out where the A's are going to play. So this is why it's kind of coming up again of when is this thing all going to come to close, and when are they going to decide everything? That's the question right now. But I think the bigger thing that's stopping everything is the NBC Sports deal. Until that deal is figured out, nothing else will happen. If that deal can be figured out, they might stay in Oakland. If they can figure out a deal, they'll come to Sacramento. They might go to Salt Lake. But right now, it stopped the TV deal. And that's where it is.
Can you elaborate a little bit on that? What specifically needs to be worked out with the NBC Sports deal? Because obviously there's an NBC Sports Bay Area. There's an NBC Sports California. California is where the Sacramento Kings air. Bay Area is where the Golden State Warriors games air. What specifically, if you're aware, of course, has to be worked out in terms of that television deal?
So the deal with it is it all comes down to money, right? And the question of
shocking.
Will A's games be shown not only in Sacramento, but also in the Bay Area as well, right? Because like when the Warriors play, we don't get that here in Sacramento. When the Kings play, they don't get that in the Bay Area. So that's another can of worms that I'm not privy to. I don't know that information. I don't know how that would work. But I do know it's coming down to the money right now. To get out of the deal, the NBC California wants to renegotiate the rights to the deal. And they're like, I don't really want to renegotiate. I like the deal we have. And we already have an antenna over there at the Golden One Center to be able to send you guys, you know, to distribute the actual broadcast to everybody. It's not like we have to build a whole new antenna and a whole new system and everything like that. It's all retrofitted and set up. So the question is, how much money would it cost to renegotiate that deal? And will John Fisher play ball with that? That's where the TV deal kind of stands.
And just for some clarification, because I see a couple things in the chat of people trying to say, hey, they got to figure this out. This is all to start. If, say, the Kings or the A's did come to Sacramento, that's the start of the 2025 season. No matter what, they're playing 2024 in Oakland this year.
Yeah, this season, they're playing in Oakland. It might be the last season at the Coliseum. It may not. Who knows? They have to find a home, guys. The lease is up. It's like, that's what I'm, like, getting so frustrated with. When you talk to Bay Area media people, there's a guy over there that's driving me up a wall every single day with what he puts out with the A's stuff. They have to play somewhere, guys. Mm-hmm. They can't just sit there and play in the streets of Oakland next year. Give them a stadium. I don't know where, but they got to play somewhere.
And really, this
Never
whole thing.
Seen Jake fired up before.
Jake be getting fired up. Just see him during. Watch him Thursday when UConn and San Diego State play. It's gonna be live. But and you can start to kind of already eliminate stuff, right? Because of how close we are to them trying to find a deadline. One of the things about the deadline is Major League Baseball, they like to put out their next season schedule around July.
Yeah, it's
weird. So they have to get started on that, like, probably now. So that's one thing. Number two, they've already said they're not going to Vegas. Mm-hmm. They're going to open up. When they go to Vegas, it's going to be to open up their new stadium. So they're not going to Vegas. Mm-hmm. Salt Lake City is probably the worst option of them all because you probably won't get a TV deal. Like, that's no money. Oakland, it's a bad deal because you're going to get no fans there. It's going to look nasty. It's going to be 200 people there for the next 3 years. That's not a good look, but you may keep the TV deal. Mm-hmm. Sacramento's almost the best of both worlds. You're going to have crowds there every night, so you're not going to look like a complete embarrassment. But you're not going to get the $70 million that you would get in Oakland, but you're not going to get zero like you would get in Salt Lake City. My guess is they're probably – this is just a guess. They're probably negotiating or trying to negotiate around anywhere between $30 to $45 million. You know, maybe the A's want $45 million and NBC Sports is like, nah, we'll give you $30. And it feels like they're around. That's just my guess. It feels like Sacramento might be the best option for what they have in front of them right now.
Can I also add to that, and I think this is something that's going to be completely missed because everyone's comparing the same situation to what the Kings went through in Seattle. Let's make this very clear. These are two completely different situations, okay? Mm-hmm. Completely different. The other thing that no one's taking into account here is, yes, even if the A's are here for 3 years, economically, does anybody understand what this is going to do for Sacramento? Like, that West Sac area can be completely rebuilt. You're going to have an influx of money to that area with new stores, food options, restaurants. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not going to just make it and just make, oh, Sutter Health Park's over there. Like, their vision is Doco 2.0 mm-hmm. over on West Sac. Like, I don't understand why people wouldn't want that for a team. Yes, they're going to be here for 3 years, but then you're going to have at least 3 decades of economic growth over there. Like, why don't you want that? Are you okay with Sacramento just staying in the past and being a slow cow town? No, let's look to the future. Let's see if we can build up this area. Well, that's the biggest downside of Sac, of saying, hey, there's so much space, we don't know what to do with it. Mm. Throw money at it, especially if an A's team comes here and they're seeing the other teams, because let's be honest here, they're not going to be coming here to see the Oakland A's. They're going to be coming here to see the Ohtanis of the world, the Aaron Judge, the Mike Trout, whatever you want to say. But that will put money in the seats, which will then put money in West Sacramento and Sacramento and Yolo County, and that would actually add to the economic development that we so badly need in that downtown area and that West Sac area.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.